Hey fans, South Florida fans, we are back. Scout Florida Radio back for another week here with you, baby. This is your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, also your co-host, Tony Sands, with us. And Tony Sands, how we doing this week?
Doing pretty good, man. Been working hard today trying to get truths and facts and on a couple of stories that's here in the South Florida area, and it kept me going from one place to another, and it seemed like at the end of the journey, I still came up with nothing.
No nuggets?
No nuggets.
No clues? No?
No, nothing.
Nothing.
It left us in the blind.
Left with no mystery, no solution.
Anything. When I say anything, no anything of any evidence that what was stated earlier in this thing was true. It didn't happen.
Okay, well, South Florida fans, y'all going to have to help us out here this week with a lot of things that we have going on here in South Florida. Florida all together, and that being the high school playoffs going on here in the state of Florida, where we'll go through some of the key matchups between some of the top high school programs here in South Florida and all throughout the state of Florida. And then also, we're going to touch on some local news we can say it's somewhat national, on some of the college and professional levels with the UM and their coaching vacancy. And then also a little bit about your Miami Heat.
I'm going to save that for last, because I know if I go to talking about it, is something that would take us to a journey that can last an entire show. But I don't want to put that much emphasis on it. They have sold you guys here in South Florida another bombshell to be dropped on you, that you come up with nothing, people.
And fans, we will get to it. We will get to it, talking about the Heat and those
they're
things
cool.
That they have.
Stop
coming
calling
up
them
and
the Heat.
What's going on. And
calling them cool.
The cool?
Call them the Miami Cool.
Cool Heat.
No, don't put the heat on it. You can't put heat on it.
I like the names that you come up with. You've been thinking about this. That's what I'm telling you. See, you've been thinking about this.
When you say heat, that means you say we're on fire when you say heat. We can't say that now because they're not on fire.
You don't have to be on fire to be the Heat. You are what you are.
Right.
When you've already been crown the champion.
You're right. You are what you are.
So
you're mediocre.
Our champions.
You are a mediocre team.
Champions again.
You are a mediocre team. You're right. You said it. You are what you are, and that's mediocre.
Momentarily. But we'll get back to that Heat talk there and get some of those questions and things, all topics covered there with the Miami Heat. We want to touch on here first with the high school playoffs, and in South Florida alone, we have some good matchups between some good teams here in South Florida. Let's start. I guess we'll start going from the lower classes, and then we'll move up to some of the big boys or the big matchups at some of our higher classes. One of the well-known teams that we've been talking about here on the Scout Florida radio show is University High School. That's led by Roger Harriet and their program and how they've been doing all season. And now that they've entered into the playoffs, how they've been able to get things rolling and do very well as a high school program, an upcoming high school program. And they've been proving very well against some top competition in the first and second round. Last round, they were able to make it past Miami Senior Pace. And that was an undefeated program there. And they were able to come out very victorious there with a 28-6 victory over Miami Senior Pace. So now Tony, they have to match up this week with Cape Coral Island Coast.
Who, right.
They have a good record.
I'm gonna tell you, they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough. Now, when you look at their team on the front, front five that they run on their defense, three of them will sign D1 scholarships. So when you talk about the trenches, and you talk about you have that many D1 prospect on it, that means you can pretty much say at some point, and I guess their record speaks on it, that you're dominating the trenches. And I think that's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing. And that squad is going to be a key matchup when you talk about the trenches, because I love University School's offensive line. They're massive. And now here they go. Is this going to be the test for them? I thought last week would be a great test, Monsignor Pace, and they mastered that pretty good.
Right, right.
So I can see, and I spent the day with Roger Harriet interviewing him, speaking with some of his players, and Patrick Williams, he's a guy over there who has 17 sacks as a D tackle. And I spoke with the quarterback, and those guys, they have their mind that, hey, they want this thing. They smell Orlando big time, man.
They're one game away.
They smell it big time. This is the one that gets Roger to the big dance. Can he get over his hump? Because his hump's been all, and this is as far as he's gotten ever, because his hump was always stopped earlier due to the fact of a Pahokee team being so massive and dominant. But they overcame that obstacle. Now here we go again. If we make this one, guys, we're there.
And in those two teams matching up, you're talking about trench warfare there, or that of what we can call it, trench warfare. Do these players for Cape Coral Coast, are they two-way players? Are they both offensively and defensively? So does University School have to worry about these players on both sides of the ball?
No, from talking to Coach Harry, he stated that, you know, they're pretty a full squad, and the teams are pretty much, you would say, matched up even. It's going to come down, like he said, it's going to come down to his guys being able to execute without making any mistakes. And if they do their job, they play to their assignment, and it's coming from him, quoted from him, we can take care of business. You can tell by his demeanor that this is something that he really wanted to have. He can taste it. This will start his dynasty role, I think. And I think that's what the guys, we talked about trees.
Right.
Because we talked about him, we talked about myself, and we talked about that we're off the George Smith St. Thomas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And we told those kids that you guys are starting a tree. And when you start a tree, there will be many branches off that tree. And where would you guys wind up on that branch? So that was something that was very interesting. The young men took that in, and they understood at that point what it meant to be a university school son. And they kind of embraced it, and I think this is what they wanted. And they were pretty much, you can see they were focused on this task.
Now they should be able to handle this team, but they have to travel over to Cape Coral Coast. Now, do you see that as being a problem or just a little deterrent obstacle for them in traveling over there? Because most of their games that they've played starting out have been home games.
Right. I don't think this, you know, I think with the team that they have, you got to figure they was, you know, even though they didn't have to go that far, but they traveled to Monsignor Pace. I think this game won't be any different. And the only thing about it is just being an enjoyable ride back home after you win it. So I don't see no problem with this game to where you say, you know, it causes a monkey wrench in Rogers' program. I think it adds a nut and bolt to it and make it successful.
Okay, so this is the Class 2B state semifinals matchup here between University High School and Cape Coral Island Coast, which will be held on Friday. In that particular matchup, we both like University School, right?
Yeah, I'm going with University School on that.
Okay, all right. Let's go to our 3A matchup. 3A, Class 3A matchup. Feats Archbishop McCarthy against Miami Norland. Now, we've been keeping up with Miami Norland.
And they've been season. And they've been impressing me each time they hit the field.
And they're led by the running back called who?
The Duke.
The Duke.
The Duke. And anytime, if you watch those old Western movies, folks, any man that was named the Duke was a bad man. That's why they gave him that title, the Duke. I don't see... I think this is what ends. Archbishop had a great run, but I think this ends it.
Yeah, I don't think they're running into a team, and like we always say to each other, once you cross that county line, man, you're running into a totally different
beast
of animal across that county line. I just don't think that Archbishop is ready for what they're going to see.
They're not.
I mean, you can't, and you got to think in practice.
The brother.
You can't resemble anything of what you're going to see.
They run into the brothers.
Yeah. So, Archbishop, I see this one being, let me go ahead and put it out, a blowout. This one will be a blowout. Duke will run all day long from start to finish, early and often.
I'm not going to disgrace it that bad. I'm just going to say about two touchdowns.
Blowout.
Two
touchdowns?
Yeah, I'm just going to say two touchdowns.
The spread is 14? Oh, man.
I'm going to say two touchdowns. I'm not going to go and say 21 or something like that. I'm going to give it two touchdowns and say that that's going to be sufficient enough points for Norland to win this game. I don't think, like I say, the speed of this game would overtake Archbishop.
Okay, so we in Vegas. You say give you the points. Plus
yeah.
15, plus 14.
Yeah.
And you good.
Yeah, and this matchup,
you feel good. You're going to come out victorious, yeah.
Yeah, in this matchup, I don't – they got to hope that Archbishop can get on the board, first of all.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's where it becomes – but I don't want to – I know the young fellas are happy here. I don't want to douse too much water on their parade.
You don't want to step on any toes.
No, I didn't say nothing about stepping on toes because I have no toes over the Archbishop to step
okay,
on.
Okay, well then, come on.
You asked me for
14, that's it.
You asked me what I thought. I did it. And now, what's the dealio?
21. I'm going 21.
You going to go to 21?
I'm going 21 on the spread. That they will cover the spread, Norland, 21. They will cover 21. And if the spread is not 21, it should be 21.
I understand that, and I'm still going to say, those young men played hard, so I don't really want to crush them that bad, in it. So I'm going to leave it at that. Well, I'm saying 21.
That's the only mismatch.
I mean 14. I'm sorry.
That's the only mismatch that I see in the matchups this week, in that Class 3A matchup between Archbishop McCarthy and Miami Norland. So we both agree that Norland will run away with that one for the Class 3A semifinals matchup. Which moves us to the Class 4A semifinals matchup, which puts Dwyer High School against Palm Bay. And old Dwyer needs to take a visit. They have to take a road trip up to Palm Bay. Now, one thing about Palm Bay is that Palm Bay is out, way, way out, way, way out, and it sits by itself. On the East Coast. They have some big boys up there in Palm Bay.
I'm still
why you're ready.
I look at it as being something that Dwyer's looking forward to. I think Dwyer still take this and master this challenge. I say I'm going with Dwyer still. I love the tight end. He's unbelievable.
Of course. Nick O'Leary.
He line up his troops and tell them, guess what? We got another challenge, boys. We got to finish this.
And I they're a tough team. We both agree that Dwyer is it has been a tough team from the start of the season, even when they played the out of state games, and that they wouldn't see a matchup until late in the playoffs. And here we are, their first matchup against a very tough, well known for being smash mouth Palm Bay team. So when you're talking about rolling up your sleeves and getting physical, they're going up against a team this week that is that you're playing their ball. So that are going to go at it.
But I think the tight ends, I think he dominates. I think O'Leary dominates this game.
So and just, it becomes a mismatch for him?
Yeah, I don't see too many linebackers and too many safeties being able to handle this young man, and I think that's what has helped them so far this season to be so dominant that no one could play him. The guy is dominant. So what you do, and I know they're going to try to double cover him, but I think he's mastering. He's mastered that this far in the game. He wants that state championship. I'm this close. I'd be darned if I'm going to turn back now. If I wanted to turn back, I might as well have done that earlier. And I think that's why Dwyer has set precedence in Palm Beach that they are the team.
You know, I want to choose this one as my upset special. I'm getting a tingly feeling here on this one. Palm Bay comes into this one undefeated, 11-0. No blemishes on the record, but they did not play any out of state games. You know, they only played the teams in the area that they're used to. Are they ready for what Dwyer is going to bring up there? I don't know. I see this one as being a close one, a close toss up. I think it'll go either way. It can go either way here. You know what? I'm going to go with the upset on this one. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Palm Bay.
I'm going to let you keep that one. I'm going to let you keep Palm Bay. I'm going to stay with Dwyer. I'm going to stay with Dwyer. I'm going to ride them all the way to the state championship. That's my team. I don't even consider it an upset. I think it's something of a challenge game, and Dwyer would take that easy.
Okay. So in the Class 4A high school semifinals, you have Dwyer at Palm Bay. You have Tony Sands taking Dwyer High School. For myself here, Kelsey's taking Palm Bay in the upset special.
So long as people understand
of the week
who you're taking.
This is my upset special.
At least people this time, he's made a decision.
I'm taking Palm Bay.
Early. You know, sometimes it took me where you had to drag this. I'm going to wait till the later. State it now.
I knew you would like that. I knew you would like that.
He stated it now, and that's what I'm so surprised and happy about. He say he got some tingly feeling as if he got arthritis or something. I'm going with Dwyer all the way. O'Leary, baby. Throw it to me. Let me do my thing. That's the baby Jeremy Shockey.
It is. It is. I agree. If they will need to find a way to control him.
And
but
they
I
can't.
Say somehow.
They can't. No one has.
Yeah, no one has.
Something's
going to happen in that game.
Ah, you're right.
I just think it's going to be a weird
when the scoreboard says 0-0-0 all across it, it will say Dwyer up.
With the higher score than Palm Bay.
And it's a wrap.
All right, we're going to have to keep our eye on that.
It's a wrap.
I'm telling you now.
We'll get feedbacks on that game.
Yeah,
trust
fans,
me.
Remember I said that I had a funny feeling about this game. Palm Bay is usually a tough roll-em-up-sleeves kind of team. They get very physical, and Dwyer does have to travel to Palm Bay. So keep that one in mind. Okay, let's move to the 5A, Class 5A state semifinals here with Board Anderson High School facing off against yours truly, the well-known machine of the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders.
I see that game in the first quarter being a challenge.
Right.
You know, guys, they're going back and forth. B.A. won't make a mistake at that point. Tyndall will run good. he would do his thing. But as the second quarter goes on, they start getting offsides, personal fouls, things of that nature, and all of a sudden it sets them back. And then St. Thomas starts to capitalize on their mistakes and make that game something totally different than what it is. St. Thomas would probably be up by 2 touchdowns at the half, and then in the third quarter really separates why Boyd Anderson should have never came over there.
So Boyd Anderson keeping it close early, but somewhere in the second or the third, St. Thomas kind of takes control, opens up the floodgates there.
Yeah, they will capitalize on Boyd Anderson's mistakes, and that's where that game gets out of hand. And once they start letting those guys freelance and have their way, the more confidence it gives them, the more powerful it makes that group. So I'm telling you, Boyd Anderson gonna have to come in that game and not make mistakes. Right. Tindall will have to play hard, and they would have to coach with a precision cut in order to win that game.
BA will have to bring their A game. A game playing wise and A game coaching wise.
Because if they
don't have a chance.
They've already been dissected every kind of way, which way it can be by St. Thomas organization. So they know and understand the terminology. They know what BA will run at certain points of the game and the percentages. And if BA don't have a way to wrinkle and throw that out, they'll still be in that rut, and St. Thomas will capitalize and dominate this game. It will be no matchup by the third quarter.
And this is a rematch where these teams faced off earlier in the season.
And it was, and St. Thomas scored 60.
It was a slaughter.
St. Thomas scored 60. I'm trying to understand, but it was a game where I say they made a lot of mistakes, and St. Thomas capitalized. They're a team that will capitalize on your mistakes.
So do they get 60 again?
No, I don't think so. It won't be. If they win, St. Thomas will win this by two touchdowns, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say 21.
21?
Yeah, they'll win this by
21. Oh, giving us 3 touchdowns here.
By 21. And that's because at a certain point in the game in the fourth quarter, Boyd Anderson is gonna get to a point to where they're gonna pack it in, because they're gonna know, guess what, we've already packed it in, because we'll be home the following weekend. You win, you go on, you lose, you go home and become mama's boy.
Okay, well, for this one, and there's two scenarios that can come off of this, and I want to go either way. I'm a little unsure on the scenarios of going this way, because it can play out either way. As a coach for St. Thomas, if you're the coach for St. Thomas, do you establish your dominance and make a statement in this game here because you're tuning up for a team that beat you on your way to a state finals last year, and you're looking for redemption? Or do you throttle back?
No, they got a full steam ahead. It's got to be
not show as much.
There's not no throttling back when it comes to this, because if you throttle back, and all of a sudden you can't throttle back up again,
right?
You're in trouble. You better keep that steam rolling. One thing about a locomotive is more explosive when it's at full speed. When you talking about shutting it down and cutting it back on, do you get caught in the mix of that train's trying to get rolling, and all of a sudden someone knocks you off? So I don't see George doing that. I see George saying, you know what, we're going to dominate this one, we're going to dominate the next one, and we're going to dominate all the way until we get to December 19th.
So, well, in that case, since you said they're not going to throttle back on that end,
full steam ahead,
I got St. Thomas by 30.
Wow. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that.
By 30.
I think this game understands, Boyd Anderson understands where they're at. I would never say 30. I'm going to say 21.
30. That, 30.
I would say 21, and I'm going to leave it at that. You're saying 30. Wow, that's a lot of points. A lot of points.
By 30.
You say 30, I'm going with St. Thomas with the 21, definitely.
21? So you're going to stay with the 21?
I'm staying with the 21.
Okay, so I'm staying with the 30. I'm letting you know they will put a foot in Boyd Anderson and send them home very quickly, because they're preparing for Bradenton Manatee, who they will see next in the next round, and Bradenton Manatee will have to come down here. So
that's going to be interesting.
They will unleash.
Now, Do St. Thomas beat them here as if they when they beat St. Thomas up there? Does the home field advantage play out to St. Thomas' favor?
Wow. I don't know.
It's got to. It's got to. St. Thomas, I guarantee you why. You know why? Because now. But then I don't, like you said, it depends on how this thing play out.
Uh-huh.
But we have to talk about that with the next game. It depends on how the next game play out. We'll decide really what kind of crowd that St. Thomas draws for that Bradenton game.
Well, okay. I'm going to tell you this. On the other end of that, I think Bradenton is not holding not one thing back. I think they feel that they have St. Thomas's number. So they're not holding anything back. They will thrash the team that they're playing this week, and they'll come in here trying.
Now this is the team that they're saying, you know, we don't beat these guys, so what?
Right.
They don't, you know, they don't show a threat to us. They got to beat us. The pressure's more on St. Thomas in this game because you know when teams like Boyd Anderson step on the field, Ely step on the field, they haven't beaten these guys. That's the difference. But Bradenton has beaten these guys, so. To them, they're like, so what?
Uh-huh.
We travel to this place called St. Thomas. Who gives a heck? We beat them last year.
And they come down here ready to go.
And they're going to come with the swagger. So St. Thomas knows they got to be ready to go. They can't be talking about we're going to tone down and tune up, tune down, tune up. Nah, buddy, you better keep that locomotive going.
Keep because your foot over
gas. Full speed. Try to push your feet. Try to get the bam bam feet where you start. You push so hard on the gas pedal that you start running, starting the car to move forward with your feet, running with your feet. Bam, bam style, baby. Flintstones.
I think we'll get all into that one next week. A lot, fans, that matchup there will be that will be key. We'll have a lot of different parts of that particular matchup to talk about because I just don't think that one is cut and dry, you know, black and white in choosing that particular game. It's a lot of things that will, scenarios that will go into that in finding out who the winner of that one will be. But we both agree that St. Thomas will handle Boyd Anderson this week in the Class 5A semifinal, so they will move on to face Manatee probably next week. Now let's move to the 6A, Class 6A finals. And in the Class 6A semifinals, or regional finals, let me say. We'll start with teams abroad before we come back a little bit closer to home. In that we have Seminole Ridge from Palm Beach facing off against Orlando Dr. Phillips. The doctor is in the house. What do you got, Tony Sands?
But I'm going to go with the doctor. When you get ill and you get sick, what who you call? You call a doctor. So I'm going to take the doctor, and I think that'll be a good matchup, but I'm going with Dr. Phillips now.
Okay, Dr. Phillips is 12-0. They've been demolishing teams on their end. They just came off of a blanking of the last team that they played, which was Oak Ridge, and they blanked them 45-0. So, Dr. Phillips hasn't seen too much competition. They've been handling teams very easy.
Because I still say when you go up the road, the 6A class is not that strong. I say when you're talking about traveling up north, I always say the 5A class is the better class to me. And that's why I think it's going to be a head-on collision when they face Miami Central. And the way you say, Darren,
uh-oh.
You
know
what I mean? Yeah, uh-oh. I stated it.
He jumped the gun.
I stated it.
I wasn't going to jump.
I know you was not. I jumped it off for you. I jumped it off for you to help you get into this thing because I'm telling you, once their locomotive started already,
uh-huh.
And we were there last week when we saw what a display of football was played in the second half of that game. Central decided, you know what? Now, but I'm going to tell you, and I got to tell you guys this. This was interesting at the beginning of this game. I know I'm getting a little bit off, but it's going to bring you back to why I stayed at Central. Here we go. Coin toss. He said, captains, all captains to the middle of the field. Captains come to the middle of the field. You got to figure you got Miami Central standing off on one side, Northwestern standing off on the other side. Ref comes in the middle. Ref try to be the peacemaker. Ref says, okay, now it's time to shake hands. Central sticks their hands out. And the West starts shaking their head. We ain't here for that. Ref looks at both people. Tell me you must shake hands. Both teams at this point says, we're not doing it. Central was more, I think, pissed off because they became embarrassed.
Yeah.
That they reached their hand out and West said no. Both teams said no. Crowd is anticipating what's going on. Crowd is feeding off what's going on. Crowd started chanting. Started getting into this thing. So now, all of a sudden, the ref throws a flag. Unsportsmanlike conduct because they would not shake hands. That excited me. These guys say, hey, we'll shake hands afterwards. Right now, this is business first.
And that we both were there at the time and noticed, you know, what was going on and could see what, you know, what was
excitement,
happening.
Man. That was excitement.
It was just in the air. The
excitement, baby.
Just the excitement, enthusiasm, the competition, the hunger for just the two teams wanting to move on in this state playoffs and play for something as great as getting that trophy and getting those rings. And those teams were not about to budge, not one bit. So that game started off with the teams being a little furious at each other and the teams being at each other's throats till once the game tipped off, it was like, let's get it started. It's time for the fight to go. Let's go.
They had to. I mean, it was, and once they got it, it was a defensive struggle in the beginning. They matched up very well. They were going blow for blow. The Central got an opportunity to come out with the first two blows. West came back right before half and got their own blow in, and all of a sudden, boy, we got us a battle on our hands. Here we are. Ref kind of, I think the ref helped them out a little bit, calling the two pass interferences deep in the end zone and kind of helped march the West down into their territory. West was able to score because it was on the inch line. And here we are. Now we got the score at 7-14, and we're getting ready to go into halftime, coming to halftime. But I think Central decided at halftime, the guys start getting in each other's face saying, hey, we got to get this. This is the roadblock to our state championship. And I stated, the team that win that
right
will go on to win the state championship. And I still say,
that is
when it's all said and done, in Orlando, I think it's December 18th, the Central Rockets will be dancing all over.
And holding up the trophy.
Bringing it home, baby. And those folks going to partay down in Miami because they got the state championship.
Well, we know if they win, the partying will not stop.
Man, when we got to the game, they were already tailgating. It was an electrifying atmosphere to be in. And then, and there's another thing that was strange that was about Dade County that I enjoyed. But I thought, when I heard it, it was just, you know, people talking. And I didn't know that they were. I said, they can't pull this off. How do you pull this off? They said, well, no tickets at the gate at the game. Not a one.
Not one.
Had to buy the tickets at both either one of the schools, mainly Miami Central, because that was their home game.
And both schools sold out.
10,000 tickets. Stadium packed, no lines, and that was when we, you know, because we have a relationship there with Central's principal. We walk, as a matter of fact, we wind up getting at the game at the same time. And speaking, she said she wanted no lines. She
right.
wanted to make sure everybody was able to get in sufficient, sit down, and enjoy a nice football game.
Which was a good idea. Very good
idea. I have never seen it pulled off.
It went well.
You got your tickets, go in. Got your tickets, go in. All they had to do is just tear and you rolled. Tear and you rolled. And when you're talking about 10,000 people, you're talking about a lot of people that can draw a line that can be a little while long. So, but that didn't happen. Everybody got in. The atmosphere was electrifying. You know, it was a nice atmosphere to be in. Blake County football is a nice atmosphere to be in. So I'm going to tell you, if Central comes to Broward County, that would take away from some of the crowd that will go to the St. Thomas and Bradenton game, because so many people want us to see what this Miami Central team is like.
Machine. That, you know what? And that is a good point.
Now, here we go.
That is a very good point.
But now,
I didn't think about that.
But now, here we go, though. Check this out. What sideline do we sit on?
Now, that one I have been thinking about.
Because we've been riding this Central bandwagon for a while. I mean, we've been on this sideline. They have welcomed us with open arms.
Wow.
I think it's going to be
a end zone.
They won't allow us because there's not enough room at Lockhart to be in the end zone. It's not like we're at that game can't be played at Northeast. So I'm gonna be careful in that matchup because I know I want to ride that ship all the way up to the state championship.
I have already thought about
that. I may say, you know what, on this one, it's the easiest thing to do. And then I know if we're on Central side in the beginning, they're going to call us traitors here in Broward. But if we're on Broward, they're going to say, wait a minute, hold on, you can't be playing this fiddle like this. So I may say, you know what? Let me see. Do I sit in the top, just get in the top of the nice awning up under the thing? That way, guess what? You don't know where I'm sitting.
You don't know.
I'm at the game.
I'll go in the press box. We may have to go in the press box.
Yeah, that may have to come to fruition. So we'll get to that because those Rockets.
So we're both thinking of the same.
That's coming up.
That's coming. That
reminds me of the movie, the new Denzel Washington movie where the trains are heading for a great collision.
Yeah.
And somebody will have to derail it.
Somebody will have to derail those.
It's going
to
be interesting. So now, like I said, we get into that and we tell you about that because that's going to be a situation that we'll have to cross. So, but you know, we'll deal with that at that time. I don't want to head out west to Cypress Bay. Northeast got to win this game this week.
All right. And we're going to go to commercial here very briefly, fans. We'll come back. Finish up our Class 6A matchups as we feel that the Miami Central Rockets are going to be dominant in this class, but we still have, I guess we can say, some constellation teams, or we can kind of call it that. I don't want to call it that just yet, but we have other teams that will match off or face off against the Miami Central Rockets. So we're going to go to commercial here very briefly, and we'll be back with you in 2 and 2.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment. Call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
All right, fans, South Florida, Scout Florida fans, we are back here to wrap up the Class 6A regional finals for the Florida State High School Football Championship here. In other matchups, we have the Northeast High School Hurricanes will face off against the Cypress Bay Lightning, all right, in a matchup here where Cypress Bay will have to travel to Northeast High School. Northeast is coming off a very big win against Miramar High School. And in this one, Tony, I pick Northeast to prevail in this one.
I'm hoping, we had an opportunity to speak with Donnell earlier in the week, and he was in the process of studying and breaking down film. I'm hoping, you know, in this one, I'm going to pick Northeast, I think. They should be able to control this thing with their speed. The Bulls will have to play a heck of a game. They got to stay disciplined when they play this team because this is a disciplined team, and that's why they have gotten as far as they did. I stated it earlier. I stated it in the beginning of the year that it's a team that has a great coach. And then when I say, and that's what I spoke about, great coach, little talent. He brings out the best in that talent, and he makes that talent successful. And that's the key to when you're talking about institutions with great coaches. They have it. They're bought it. They bought into it. These young guys bought into the system because they're very young. So you can look for this team to be back in the playoffs. But I give this notch to Donnell, and I think he win this one here by probably about 10 points.
Okay, and I pretty much agree. It'll be a close one, and I think they'll pull it out here because they are playing at home, and the winner of this one then faces off against what we were leading to, which would be Miami Central, the winner of Miami Central and South Dade. And we both feel that Miami Central is going to move on from South
Dade. Yeah, I mean, we don't have to get into that a lot. I think they'll handle that easy. They'll do – these guys got state championship on their mind, and I think this is another roadblock that can detour that. So I don't see them letting this get in their way. They're focused. They're ready. They will play this game. It may be a little close in the beginning because they would have to understand Central sometime may start slow a little bit. And I think they'll start slow, but that thing gets moving and it's a wrap.
Okay, so we're 2 weeks away from the state finals matchup, and we feel that Dr. Phillips on the other side of the bracket will prevail and get there as a contender for the state title. And Miami Central will prove to be the powerful team on this side of the bracket and also be the other contender there to match up against Dr. Phillips. Okay, so that gives you your Class 6A regional matchups and then some of your brackets that will lead you to the state finals. Okay, so keep in tune with that, fans. Stay up with that. We'll be back with some of those matchups next week where we'll be talking about the winning teams from those brackets as we get closer to the state finals. We want to move on and touch on some of our, bigger topics more nationally known, and that being at the collegiate level, University of Miami Hurricanes.
It started out what I started the opening of the show with. We've been chasing this story all day. I mean, because it's been a hot topic national. It started out with King Sports. They put some things out there that, here we go. We got a deal with John Gruden. It's a deal that's going on. They will have this thing locked up. This thing will be a done deal. And the way it started going, once it started moving, everybody thought, guess what? John Gruden was the new coach of the Miami Hurricanes because he also put out that there will be a team meeting tomorrow. I've not confirmed or got any further information if there is a team meeting on this situation tomorrow, but they put it out, and all of a sudden, toward the latter part of the day, about 2:30, a bombshell was dropped on this whole story that the University of Miami will continue their coaching search. So I knew at that point, this thing,
it wasn't going anywhere.
It was just something I think that started up. He came on the Michael Irvin show. He came on and saying, and Kevin Colley pretty much was kind of trying to break through his story to see how true this story really is. And I think when I heard it, I said, "Now Kevin asking a question that shouldn't be asked of this guy." But when I looked at it, Kevin asked the right question. Because Kevin seemed like, "I don't think this is going, I don't think what you guys are putting out has any truth to it." Because he asked him, "Are the guys talking directly to you down at the University of Miami, or are they talking to you through somebody else?" And he really couldn't give us a definitive answer on that. And at that point, I said, "You know what? This thing might not be going anywhere." Then it came up. That Mr. Holcutt said, "We will, before we hire anybody, we will continue the search." And at that point, I knew there's no truth to this.
John Gruden's staying put.
He's staying with ESPN. They loving him. I will tell you this. John will be the next John Madden that they will promote as the next John Madden in the broadcasting world. Because that's where it's going if you really look at it.
And that's a good point. That is a good point. He's doing a great job at that company. And why would he leave? Why would he leave? You get to talk about football. He's making millions. And he's in a comfortable job where he's not worried about job security. Now, I do think it will come a time where he will move back into the NFL.
Of course.
But he'll come back. He will not release the broadcasting.
No, I mean,
as far as letting it totally go, because he'll always come back to that. But I think he'll give the NFL one more go. He wants one more championship.
And I think everybody right now, because we don't know, the way it's looking, that there would not be an NFL season next year.
Right. It's looking very lockout there.
Pretty much will lock them out. And it's gonna be sad that this happens. Because here you are, a company with a great brand. Mm-hmm. It hurt baseball. The situation hurt baseball. Now, does it hurt football? But, you know, like I said, I didn't see John Gruden saying, "You know what, I'm going to wait on somebody else. I'm not even in the same area as these other people that you guys are interviewing."
Right.
I don't see it. And I'm curious to see, you know, and I just got hit on something. Now, there still is a team meeting tomorrow at 2:00.
Team meeting is to let them know
that we do not have a coach.
Continuing our effort
to try to find them a coach.
To try to find a coach.
Because it is still a team meeting.
We were looking into. We still have our standards set for something like that. But we will let you know.
Once that time comes. Because at one time, I got a text. Now, somebody texted me after we went off the air. Somebody had texted me and said, "You know what? What's holding this deal up was the brother's contract." Jay Gruden, because, you know, he was bringing Jay with him as the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was going to happen, John Gruden going to say, "Okay, I'm going to give you guys 3 years. But once I finish up my 3 years, guess what? My brother will be the coach in waiting."
Maybe.
Could've and been I'm a, telling you, they said part of the plan. They said that was the holdup in this whole, you know, ordeal. So I'm telling you, I think that was probably a sticking point. I don't know if he's ready to take on that challenge of going to sit in parents' homes.
And I don't think UM wants to put themselves in a strap situation like that where they have two coaches already predetermined no matter what the outcome is.
That's tough because they would have to put out a lot of money.
Yeah, you got to buy
them out on one contract. ESPN, I don't know how that contract is worked out with them with that, with Monday night. That's a possibility. You got to buy that out. All of a sudden now you got to pay him a high salary. Then you got to pay his coaches a high salary because I'm questioning he wanted to give his brother probably in the seven figures also.
Yeah, yeah.
So now to UM, are they ready to put themselves in a situation like that? It would have been a big splash now, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, but I think they did themselves a favor by moving on and hurrying up and getting out of Tampa and going somewhere where they can afford that particular coach. So, that's the situation that they definitely need to. That's a situation they definitely need to get away from and stick with a college coach. I think they need to stick with a college coach.
It's not going to bring a splash what they're looking for.
Well, who do you think the next names are?
I mean, I'm hearing Dan Mueller pop up a lot. I don't know if that's going to bring us. That's not going to change anybody's mind to say.
From Mississippi State.
Yeah, and it's not going to change nobody's mind. Gruden was going to be the only thing that filled those stadium seats and make recruits start saying, you know what? Been open this thing back up to the University of Miami. I don't see no other coach doing it. It's going to be harder on any other coach that decide to go and do it.
What? Now, is that because of Gruden was the top name out of all the names that we've heard?
No, because of the Gruden brand. You got to think, I'm a recruit.
Uh-huh.
Who do I go love to play for?
Uh-huh.
A Jimbo Fisher or a John Gruden? Now, I want to go to the NFL. Uh-huh. Which one of these guys have a better opportunity to get me to the NFL? Well, which one of the guys?
Well, out of
John Gruden and a Jimbo Fisher or John Gruden and Urban Meyer.
Well, they have a better opportunity.
That's why I say recruits I guarantee you Jimbo and Urban were shaking in their boots on this deal.
But what about
they were shaking in their boots?
And this name has been mentioned very briefly though, but it has been mentioned. What about a Bobby Stoops from Oklahoma?
It's not a splash like a Gruden. Gruden was gonna give them their only big splash to make people really say, okay, we're heading in the right direction. I still say that.
That's the only one you feel.
Everybody else is like throwing a pebble in the water. You throw a little pebble in the water versus dropping a big atomic bomb in the water. Gruden was that atomic bomb that would send wrinkles for days. No one else could do that.
And that's why I say that was so much of a reach, because if you're saying that name, and you're separating it so far from everyone else, I don't think that it can be done. We have Coach Lovett here on the line with us. Coach Lovett, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
What's
happening,
man?
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just chilling. Hey, Coach, what's happening, man? This is Tony Sanders. You're on the Scout Florida radio show with myself and Kelsey Dudley. You see, you as a coach, you had an opportunity, and we was talking about the Northeast in the Cypress Bay game. So I wanted to bring you on and get just a good perspective of a guy that played both of these teams. We picked Northeast in this battle. We wanted to let our viewers get it from a guy that's coached against both of these teams. Can you kind of give us a real quick, definitive answer on how do you see this game here playing out between Cypress Bay and Northeast?
Well, first of all, I think it's going to be a great game. Second of all, I did have the opportunity to face both of these guys, Cypress Bay and Northeast, you know. But I do think Northeast will come out on top with the victory just for the fact being that their D-line is tough. You know, we played both of these guys. We came out on top against Northeast. When we played against Northeast, I think they was missing like two D-linemen. Their D-line is pretty tough. Now, I do think Cypress Bay have the edge when you're talking about coaching. You know, Guandola, he's proven. And then you have Bennett, you know, he's a coach that's up and coming. But one thing I can say about Bennett, he has those guys over there playing. You know, they have a young team, young, talented team. You know, and each game they have got better. They have proven to be better each game. I had an opportunity also to check these guys out last week, and they did a great job. I mean, everything is just like clicking, offense, defense, special teams. So I do think Northeast is going to come out on top with the victory. Just for the fact, you know, I'm looking at Bennett, you know, the way his coaching style is, he's got those guys clicking. He's got those guys flying around. And then I also know the defensive coordinator over there. He's been doing a great job over there. You know, so I got to go with Northeast.
So, Coach, when you look at this game, you're saying with the type of offense that Guardiola runs, and that's what he's been known so much because they're precision running offense.
Right.
And they're a disciplined
right.
team. Will that
correct.
Overtake with that? What do Donnell's defense have to do in order to stop this precision running attack?
Well, first of all, it's got to start up front. You know, I know and you know anybody who's been playing or coaching football, watching football, they know everything starts up front. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. I like Northeast because I think their D-line is going to dominate Cypress Bay offensive line. You know, they're disciplined. They also have a big recruit over there. All right, on the D-line, BJ, that's all I know. I can't think of his last name. But he's
DeBose.
Great. I mean, huh?
Yeah, last name DeBose.
DeBose, Brian DeBose. He's a monster, man. You know, but you know, like I say, when it comes to a close game, Northeast is going to have to do something, like, different because Guardiola, like I said before, he's proven. All right, Guardiola has been to the big dance. He has been on the big stage. All right, the question is, can Bennett get these guys to respond if the game gets tight? You know, and I think he will do a great job of doing that.
Now, Coach Lovett, this is Kelsey Dudley here with the Scout Board.
What's going on, Kelsey?
How you doing? All right, now, and I talked actually today with Coach Bennett on some of the things that they need to stay away from. In that, Cypress Bay is a time consuming team, so they want to hold the ball.
Right.
So,
right.
Do you feel that that Northeast needs to jump out early to kind of put Cypress Bay behind and have them
definitely.
Kind of face them from behind?
Definitely. That offense is not designed to come back. It's not a comeback offense. You know, you're facing a wing T. It's not a comeback offense. And when you're speaking of jumping out, I haven't even spoke about Northeast, the talent that they have on offense. They have a great group of young receivers, actually playmakers. You understand what I'm saying? So I do think that they do need to jump out quick. All right, they need to try to take advantage of the opportunities they have earned and put this game away because, like I say, that offense is not designed for a comeback offense.
All right, Coach Lovett, we got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us. That was good insight, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it, Coach.
All right.